thomasofgod.net.
Hi, Brother Thomas. This is Sister Mary.
Yes, yeah, Sister Mary. What can I help you with this time?
Brother Thomas, I understand that sin means disobedience. And the last time we talked, or the last time I talked to you, I asked you, to what are we disobedient to? And you helped me to understand that we are disobedient to love. So, Brother Thomas, what is love?
Yes, Sister Mary, I think that's a good idea. By studying or by looking at each of God's characteristics or part of his character, we can understand what God is like and understand what love really is like, and at the same time understand more about sin, since sin is a behavior that is opposite of the love behavior. And therefore, you know, sin is a disobedient behavior performed by a man, either in our mind or outwardly toward others, are in circumstances that come into our lives. That which is not gentle, that which is not giving or forgiving, that which is not good, that which is not long-suffering, that which is not trusting, that which is not showing self-control, or that which is not showing humility, and that which does not give joy and peace to others. We often think of an act of sin as murder, theft, adultery, drug, and alcohol abuse, are in other areas, but little do we know or realize that the following list are acts of disobedience or in disobedient behavior towards that love nature that we perform against God and one another, such as anger, hate, bitterness, fighting, jealousy, fear, slander, gossip, drunkenness, unforgiveness, disobedient to authority, lust, fornication, selfishness, not having a giving spirit, and there's others found in scriptures. Could it be said of the human race that we are kind or gentle, that we're patient and good and forgiving one another? Could it be said of the human race, if history spoke, could it be said that we're humble and that we're giving and that we're understanding and that we're trusting, that we're selfless and that we possess self-control? I don't think so. As history itself would declare a man guilty of not possessing one ounce of love in our being, mankind is not like this at all, and neither are you or anyone else. Mankind does not know how to love, because we are not conceived with love or this behavior in our heart or mind. But we are conceived and birthed with that attitude and behavior that is in opposition to love. I mean, just look at your newspapers and listen to your radio or watch TV. Do they not show that the evidence of our rebellious behavior, known as sin, and the lives we live in rebellion to God's design, for which he designed us to live? The word behavior, of course, which is what we need to understand, because sin is a disobedient behavior, and love also is a behavior as well. And the word behavior means how one responds to God, to one another, and also to circumstances that would come into our lives or into your lives. I once drew a picture of a lady. I can draw, or I used to be able to. And I once drew a picture of a lady who was looking at herself in a mirror. And, I mean, she was just adoring herself, and she was just admiring herself by looking within this handheld mirror. And, I mean, she was just delighted with what she saw. And if we were to be honest with ourselves, and if we were to examine the very reason or motive behind why we do most all that we say or do towards one another, I'm afraid we would see what this woman saw, which is her own reflection of her own image. Every disobedient act or sin that we perform is acted out with self being the very core behind every sin or disobedient behavior that we commit. God knows this selfishness of man's heart, and there's a verse in Scripture in which God attempts to use it to show us how much we are to show love towards one another, and to show us how important the lives of others should be towards us. The verse is actually found in Mark chapter 12, and I believe it's verse 30, in which it says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, God is speaking to believers in this verse, and God here in this verse is not encouraging man to practice his selfishness toward his neighbor, but instead he is focusing on all the energy and all the importance and dedication we give to being selfish, and trying to show how we need to turn all that energy of importance and dedication towards living and loving others instead. Instead of focusing on what is best for you and always trying to meet your needs, why not look to see what your fellow man needs may be? I mean, after all, Christ died meeting our need of forgiveness and of sin, and to give us eternal life. And that's the very first character of God that we want to look at. And that very first character that we want to look at can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, which says that love seeketh not her own. And I'm afraid that, like I said a while ago in the beginning, the very core as to why we do all that we do. In fact, I can honestly say that every act of disobedience and every disobedient behavior that we live in our lives is performed or acted out simply because of one motive, and that motive is the selfishness of our own heart. God often uses problems and troubles in our lives to try to show us the sin in our life, and so oftentimes when we look at troubles, we don't see troubles as an instrument of God trying to bring to the surface our sin nature or our disobedient behavior to his behavior or to his character. But oftentimes we see problems as problems and things that are bad instead of steps and lessons of learning. But let me introduce you to our real behavior, quite different from God's behavior, which is known as love, which we will learn about. Notice our selfish behavior when things go wrong in our life. And let me speak about anger here for just a moment, because anger is evidence of our selfishness. And it reveals that something did not meet our expectation or go according to the way we had it planned. And stop and think about it. Every time you get angry, it's for some selfish reason. Just like babies who throw their fits of anger when they don't get what they want, we as adults, we still perform that practice. Examine yourself and see if I'm not right. Next time you get angry, ask yourself, why? And you will find out that a selfish reason will exist, if you're honest with yourself in your examination. When someone does not see your view on things, or as you do, or maybe someone did not perform as you thought they ought to perform, or they should, in order to meet your expectations, you became angry. Have you ever planned a day for the family, an outing, to the very last detail, and your emotions are running high with great excitement, only to have them to be dashed when your car decides to take a rest or to break down on the highway, say at least 20 miles from the nearest town? All you can think about is all your expectations ruined. And so you respond by you losing your cool, taking out all your anger upon the car door as you slam it or kick the tire. And that's not all. You become easily agitated as your children, you become easily agitated at your children and your wife or your husband. As you raise your voice in anger and hostility, not even thinking as to how you're hurting the ones you say you love. And what is your reason? Not because you were thinking of how you planned that day out for your family, but because your expectations of the day were spoiled because of your own selfishness. Every act of sin is an act of selfishness. and selfishness is a sin. We're going to make a comparison, and we will compare and show God's character, and then we'll see the opposite of God's character, and we'll see what sin really is. God thinketh not upon himself, but every act and everything God has ever done has always been an act of non-selfishness. God gave his son to die so that we may not die. If we accept the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, if we accept what Christ did upon the cross, if we confess our sins, Christ died for others, that others may be saved, that others may not go to hell, that others may have eternal life, that others may have their sins forgiven. The greatest non-selfish act ever performed by anyone was performed by Jesus Christ and God the Father. And everything that God has ever done or has ever written has been what is best for us as mankind, to give mankind another opportunity. Everything he's ever done is selfless, not thinking of himself, but only thinking of others and only thinking about that creature that he created and so loved. As we continue to study God's character and the sin nature, we will see that the very source of every other act of disobedience, whether it's jealousy, hatred, bitterness, envying, strife, whatever it may be, every act of disobedience or that disobedient behavior comes from one source and comes only from one life source, and that is selfishness. Selfishness is the very core, and it's the very reason that we commit every act of disobedience that we're going to study, which is opposite in turn, which is opposite of God's behavior, which is known as love. A good definition for selfishness, it means to chiefly caring only for one's own interest, for one's own comfort, for one's own happiness, for one's own well-being and pleasures, and for one's own pleasures, having no regards as to others' interest or others' comfort or others' happiness or others' well-being or the pleasures of others. And that's the definition of selfishness that we want to hold all the way through our study. Again, it is chiefly when we care only for our own interest, our own comfort, our own happiness, our own well-being, and for only our own pleasures. So, Sister Mary, if you'll come back next week, we'll take another look at one of God's characters. God isn't selfish. And that's one of his characters. And the part of our sin nature is that we're opposite of that. We are selfish. And so if you'll come back and get in touch with me next week or next time, and we'll look at another one of God's characters and then look at the opposite of that and see our sin nature. Okay, Sister Mary?
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. If you would like a tape or CD of today's lesson, please write to promiseofgod.net, 545 Big Leaf Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78264. Or email us at t_sal@sbcglobal.net. Or you may call area code 210-626-1416. With your request for any of the broadcast lessons or questions or comments. See you next time at thepromiseofgod.net.